السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، السلام عليكم.
آمين وإياكم أبا يوسف. How are you?
الحمد لله بخير.
Can we go on now?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، in continuation of our lessons from the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail, one of the biggest scholars since the history of Islam rahimahullah, we are on Babu Al-Shahna, the chapter about being bottled up with hate or being filled in the mind with enmity or spite. We had said that Ashahna, we speak from Ashahn, which literally refers to Imtila Usudur, but filling of the mind bil adawati, with enmity, wal bagda, with hate, bil hiqd, with spite, being venomous. A person is full of hate and enmity in his mind against the rest of the people. Such a person is said to fill up himself with ashahna. And that's from the background that Islam prohibits one Muslim to disconnect from another Muslim, hajrul Muslim. Islam basically prohibits it, one Muslim disconnecting from another Muslim. Islam worth still prohibits two Muslims disconnecting from themselves. So if you are not disconnecting from your brother, and you both are not disconnecting from yourselves, because the scenario where just one person will declare dissociation against the next person, the other person would not feel disconnected, will not have any reason to disconnect. And a lot of questions have come from this angle. One person may declare disconnection against you, and you are free. You don't even understand. Each time you see him or her, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Meanwhile, the person has disconnected from you. This is hajrul Muslim. But when it is such that both parties declare disconnection from one another, that will come under the chapter heading we read last before the present, Al-Muhtajirain, Babu Al-Muhtajirain, the chapter that the two people disconnect from one another. This one says, I will not talk to you, get out. The other one says, oh no, you are foolish, go away. And then they both, each of them becoming disconnecting from one another, they both separate and go the separate ways. Each of these scenarios, the scenario that one person disconnects from the other Muslim who is not disconnecting from him or her, or the scenario where each of the both disconnects from his brother, each of them is prohibited in Islam. And as we have repeatedly mentioned, each of these scenarios is from the aspects of major sins in Islam. They are from the aspects of major sins in Islam, al-kabair. Now, if you are not disconnecting from your brother, as is the case when we have hajrul Muslim, or that there is no ihtijar, bowed to little bad. One, both parties disconnecting from one another at Tahajjud. This one does not occur. If you say you are with your brother is with you, you are not disconnecting from him, you are angry against him, you feel hurt by him for a period, for a period of the disagreement you had, we repeatedly emphasize that that should not be for more than 3 days. You have up to 3 days to celebrate your anger, to reorganize your mind, and that whatever goes beyond 3 days is a sin, is a major sin in Islam. So if even after 3 days, you are still with the brother, you have not disconnected from him, you have not disconnected from her, if she's your sister, you still speak, but your mind is full of hatred. Your mind is full of enmity against that person. This is what is referred to as a shahna. So you may see two people together, but their minds are full of a shahna regarding one another. And about that, in the last class, we read Hadith 408, the Hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tabagadu, do not fool up your minds with hatred against one another, which is called ashahna. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Wa la tahasadu, don't also fill up your minds with envy and jealousy against one another, which is also from the aspects of ashahna. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانَ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, all of you should be but a single, you should be single, you should be one in brotherhood, should be one single unit, should be brothers. Because at-tabagud, mutually hating yourselves, and at-tahasud, mutually envying yourselves and being jealous of yourselves, each and both of which comes from the aspects of ashahna. These things contradict what we refer to as al-ukhuwa, ad-diniya, the brotherhoods from the aspects of the religion. At-tabagud and at-tahasud both contradict brotherliness in Islam. So we read Hadith 408 and Hadith 409. In Hadith 409, which was also reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that تَجِدُ مِنْ شَرِّ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ ذَا الْوَجْهَيْنِ. From the things you will find with Allah on the day of Qiyamah is that min sharrin nas, from the worst of all the people, when all the peoples are put together, when all the peoples are put together, from those worst amongst them is the one zal wajhain, the individual with two faces. Why are they referred to as two faces? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allazi ya'ti ha'ula'i biwajhin, ya'ti ha'ula'i biwajhin. He will come to a set of people with a particular face, showing to be their friend. Meanwhile, all that he seeks to get from that are their faults. And he seeks to get their own faults while they do not know. So he comes to them to speak evil regarding group B. He comes to group A showing friendliness. He will be gathering their faults and speaking evil of group B in the presence of group A. He comes to person A. He comes with a friendly face. So this is phase one. He comes with the face of a friend. So he behaves like a friend. speaks evil of faith of individual number B. He speaks evil of individual B. And then he also, you know, secretly gathers the faults of party A. This is phase one. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Yati ha'ula ibawajhin, wa ha'ula ibawajhin. And then he goes to group B. He shows to be their friend. He exposes those faults he had gathered regarding party A. He shows it to party B and makes party B feel that he is their friend. As he exposes party A to party B, he is also secretly gathering the faults of party B, with which he seeks to show friendliness to party A. So these kinds of people end up having two faces. The first face of friendliness they show to party A, the face of friendliness to party A, and enmity to party B, and the face of enmity to party B, and friendliness to party B, and enmity against party A. So they go about with two faces. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tajid min sharri nafsi yawm al-qiyamah. In some riwayat, it says, min sharri khalqillah, from the worst of the creatures of Allah, are these persons, people with two eyes, two faces. It has a face to this group. It has a face to that group. So why, how does this come under the matters of Ash-Shahna? It comes under the matters of Ash-Shahna from two angles. The first one is that this single individual that shows friendliness to party A and enmity to party B when he is with party A, and then he comes to party B showing friendliness to party B and enmity against party A, this same single individual with two faces, he himself is full of enmity against both party A and party B. His mind is full of enmity and hatred regarding both parties. This is the first issue. So filling up his mind with enmity and hatred against both parties comes from the aspects of Ash-Shahna. And then secondly, he is also going to spread Ash-Shahna. Such double-faced human beings will also spread hate. They will spread spite. They will spread hate. And anger amongst both parties. This that we have discussed regarding being double-faced, some people call this evil of being double-faced. Some people refer to it as diplomacy. But as a Muslim, this is what Allah and His Messenger have referred to it. Showing friendliness to party A and enmity to party B when you are with party A, and showing enmity to party A, the same party A you had shown friendliness to, you come back and show enmity towards them when you come to party B. This is Ash-Shahna. This is being double-faced. You are spreading hate. You are spreading anger. You are spreading evil in the community in the name of being diplomatic. Some of the people refer to this double-facedness as from the aspects of politics. Some people say that it's politics, but in the sight of Allah, you are going to find that هُمْ مِنْ شَرِّ خَلْكِ اللَّهِ. You find out that on the day of Qiyamah, such a person who trivializes being double-faced, he will find this as from the worst of individuals before Allah on the day of Qiyamah to be double-faced. And from the evil of double-facedness is what Ash-Shahna, what they spread in the community of hatred, of spite, of wickedness amongst the servants of Allah. This will make us move to Hadith 410 in the same book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Muhammad, Qala Haddathana Abdul Razak, Qala Akhbarana Mahmoud, Qala Akhbarana Ma'mar and Hammam, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إياكم والظن فإن الظن أكذب الحديث ولا تناجشوا ولا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تنافسوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. This is Hadith 410. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports it from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Muhammad, who said, حدثنا عبد الرزاق. عبد الرزاق in this isnad, that is Al-Imam عبد الرزاق ibn Hammam al-Sanani rahimahullah, from amongst the elderly scholars of Yemen in the early days of Islam. He is reporting from his Sheikh Ma'mar, and that is Al-Imam Ma'mar ibn Rashid, rahimahullah, Abu Urwa al-Azdi. Al-Imam Ma'mar ibn Rashid, Abu Urwa al-Azdi, he is the Sheikh of Abd al-Razzaq. We all remember the Musannaf of Al-Imam Abd al-Razzaq ibn Hammam. Each time he is mentioned, we remember his very voluminous book, Musannaf Abd al-Razzaq. And that Musannaf has about 30,000 narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the companions, and from the Tabi'un, the Musannaf of Al-Imam Abd al-Razzaq, and from his Shaykh, in fact, his Shaykh from whom he is reporting this hadith is Ma'mar ibn Rashid, rahimahullah, who was also from amongst the scholars of Yemen. And he is reporting this hadith from his own Shaykh, and the student of Abu Huraira, Hammam ibn Munabbih. Hammam ibn Munabbih is well known from amongst the students of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. But this asar has been reported from about eight from the students of Abu Huraira. About eight of them, including Hammam. It was also reported by Al-Imam Al-A'raj, Abdurrahman ibn Hurmuz, from amongst the students of Abu Huraira. Likewise, Abu Salih, Saman, Zakwan, Saman, Abu Salih, from the students of Abu Huraira. He has also reported this hadith. There was Salih ibn Nabhan, from amongst the Tabi'un and from amongst the students of Abu Huraira. He has also reported this hadith from Abu Huraira. We also have Abdurrahman ibn Ya'qub, the father of Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman. Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman is a well-known reporter of hadith, very popular because he has a lot of ahadith. Al-Ala, Al-Ala, Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman. His father, Abdurrahman ibn Ya'qub al-Madani, has also reported this hadith from Abu Huraira. What this means is that this is a well-known, widely reported narrations from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He has over seven students reporting this hadith from him, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam said, Iyakum wa dhan, The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iyyakum wa dhan, iyyakum. This expression, when it is employed, it usually refers to a warning. Ihdharu, I warn you. Ittiba'adhan, I warn you from following suppositions. You just suppose something. You just think. This is how it is. Iyyakum wa dhan. I warn you, I caution you against following suppositions. I suppose that this is how this thing is. I suppose this is it. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, Abu Abbas, the scholar of tafsir, because we have tafsir al-Qurtubi, but that is from the works of Al-Imam Abu Abdullah al-Qurtubi. As for Abu Abbas al-Qurtubi, he was from amongst the scholars of hadith. He has a book, Al-Mufhim, which is a sharh of Sahih Muslim. So he, when he is cited regarding a hadith, the scholars will distinguish between Abu Abdullah al-Qurtubi, that's the scholar of tafsir, and Abu Abbas al-Qurtubi. He is from the scholars of hadith who has written a commentary on Sahih Muslim. While explaining this hadith, which also occurs in Sahih Muslim, Al-Imam al-Qurtubi said, Al-Muradu bi-Zanni huna At-Tuhmat Al-Lati La Sababa Laha At-Tuhmatu Al-Lati La Sababa Laha. What is intended by a dhan, supposition, that the Prophet said, be careful, avoid it. Ihdharu ittiba' al-dhan. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, iyyakum wadhan, I caution you against a dhan. He said, al-murad bi-dhanni huna. What is intended with a dhan here in this hadith is at-tuhmatu allati la sababa laha. When you accuse a person of something, bidun sabab, without a reason, you think this something happened, something was stolen. He said, perhaps it's this one. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this one. You begin to change. Maybe it's this person. Maybe it's this person. And unfortunately, this tuhma, this accusation that you direct to people one after the other, La sababa laha. You have no reason to do so. It just occurs to you. And then you begin to say, you are following your intuition. How should your intuition suggest something to you that is baseless and you act upon it? This you're depending upon a supposition, a suggestion from your mind without any sabab. This is what is referred to as what? Azzanu. Al-Qurtubi said, rahimahullah, al-murad bi-dhanni huna at-tuhmatu allati la sababa laha. Those accusations that lack any foundation at all. These are the things the Prophet warned us against. Don't base, alayhi salatu wasalam, upon a supposition. You begin to act upon it. Upon just a suggestion from your mind without evidence. No evidence. There is no reason for you to have to think that it was the man who was guilty of it. So Al-Qurtubi said, rahimahullah, كَمَنْ يَتَّهِمُ رَجُلًا بِالْفَاحِشَةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَظْهَرَ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَقْتَدِيهَا. Like someone who accuses another person of al-fahisha, indecency with a woman. Said, I think this person is doing this. مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَظْهَرَ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَقْتَدِيهَا. مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَظْهَرَ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَقْتَدِيهَا. Without any thing that could necessitate that accusation. No, nothing. The man is just on his own. In fact, he was walking on the street. The other woman too was walking on the street. Oh, I think this man has something to do with this girl. just like that. Oh, I think this girl has something to do with this man. No evidence, nothing, no reason for you. Perhaps they did not even say a word to one another. The man is going his way, the other man is going his way. You begin to follow evil suggestions from your mind. These days, some people want to call this kind of a thing emotional intelligence. But you will see here that what our religion is teaching us, that this is not intelligence at all. It is from the aspects of sin in Islam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, iyyakum wa dhann, avoid suppositions. You just suppose false accusations. You just suppose. Be doing a sabab. Nothing makes you think like that. In fact, if you say it and someone says, excuse me, was there a reason why you gave this thing? Say, no, no, nothing. I just thought like that. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. And Asar was reported from him. I think also from the Musannaf of Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, that he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, that someone whose property was stolen, he began to follow his son regarding people. Maybe it's this brother. Maybe it's this brother. Maybe it's this sister. You went for a marriage ceremony and you lost your chain. You begin to look at every woman in that house. Maybe it was this woman who stole it. Maybe it was this one. This woman is looking at me. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. Ibn Mas'ud said, the one whose property was stolen, radiallahu anhu, he said, the one whose property was stolen, he will begin to, in his mind, falsely accuse and suppose innocent people to be guilty until he becomes worse in it all than the person who actually stole that property. Do we understand? A property was actually stolen. A phone was stolen. Ibn Mas'ud said, the owner of the phone begins to think falsely. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this. He begins to gather sins. And each of these maybe, they are all innocent. He has no reason to think that they were the ones who stole his phone. Yet he's thinking, maybe it's this one, maybe it's this one, maybe it's this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe this. Until he becomes worse than the person who actually stole the phone. The one who stole the phone was committing a sin. But you thinking, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. You become worse in sinfulness than the one who actually stole the phone. So all of this go to make us understand how much we must control our mind. You are not emotionally intelligent if you are only given to falsely accusing people of something without no reason. There is no reason for you to think like that. If there are reasons, you may think, this person, so-so thing happened, then so-so thing happened, then so-so thing happened, then so-so thing happened. Please, let us ask him. But in your own case, no reason. The man is just on his own. You say, okay, maybe because he was quiet. So he is guilty. I remember a scholar who was falsely accused of groupism and fanaticism. Why? They say because he does not criticize that group. And that group needs to be criticized. So when he's not criticizing them, he's just teaching. He's not giving to criticize this group, criticize that group. They say maybe he's a member of that group. And upon that, he became suspended from teaching. So you find things like this. This is azan. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibits us. Says, Iyyakum wa dhanna. I caution you, I warn you against following these kinds of suggestions in your mind. Yes, those suggestions may come, but what you should intelligently ask yourself is, why should I think it is brother A? If your mind says, maybe it's brother B, ask yourself, why should I think it is brother B? If your mind thinks, oh, maybe it is brother C, ask yourself, why should I think it is brother C? When you are doing it, you are not following a zone. But when you are not doing this, querying your mind and asking for evidences, when it falsely suggests evil to you regarding people, you don't query your mind, then you are following. This is a tiba'u zanni, and it is a prohibited thing in Islam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, yakum wa zanna, fa inna zanna akzabul hadith. Because these evil suggestions, these evil suppositions, it is akzabul hadith. It is from the most falsehood of statements that you can give. A man is guilty. So your mind is suggesting evil to you. You look at it. One single unit of something was stolen. 100 people were suggested to you by your mind. So could you have been truthful? Could those suggestions, could they have been truthful? Just one thing was stolen. Your mind suggested 10 people. It wasn't as if even that these 10 people could have divided this one thing that was stolen. We are just using stolen property as an example. So one person did one thing. Then you begin to think about 10, 15, 20 people. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, these kinds of suppositions, min akzabil hadith, it is, they are from... They are from the most falsehood, from the most incorrect of statements that anybody would make. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wala tanajashu. So when you will not falsely accuse yourself, don't falsely accuse yourself. Iyakum wazan. The Prophet prohibits us from these evil suggestions, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this person, maybe it's very, very common amongst those people who think that they are intelligent. They usually falsely accuse people in their minds. So in their minds, people are thieves, people are... Because what that leads to is that you can't trust anybody. You can't even trust yourself. You can't trust your wife. You can't trust your daughter. You can't trust your mother. You can't trust your... the closest of your staff to you. This one, everybody, you have a zon, evil thinking and supposition regarding them. May Allah protect all of us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibits us from azan. Why is it called azan? Don't forget. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi said, al-murad bi zanni huna at-tuhmatu allati la sabab laha. A false accusation that has no reason. You accuse somebody for no reason. If there are reasons, this is something else. If there are reasons, this is something else. Oh, I saw a message that shows that you did so and so. Did you do it? Did you do this? You begin to investigate. Did you say this? Did you be like this? If there are reasons for such suspicions, yes. It may be followed up and investigated so that the truth is unveiled. But without reason, if it is without reason, that is so vain. That's thinking evil about your brother. This is prohibited in Islam. So as Islam prohibits thinking evil and falsely accusing people of evil, the Prophet also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wala tanajashu. Tanajush is your brother wants to buy something, an item, perhaps for 100 naira. So he comes to the seller. How much? The seller asks you, how much do you want to buy it? You say, okay, let me pay 100 naira. Then a brother comes. Say, oh, seller, you pay 100 naira. I'll pay 200 naira. Why? You want to help the seller to inflate the price. Do you understand? You might have done it together, yourself and the seller. People do it. Brother A is selling. Brother B is not selling.
brother C wants to buy. So A and B connive that B should always come when the property is to be sold to mention a price so that C will be forced to increase the price because of his love for that property. This is Atana Josh to help the seller inflate prices so that the buyers are compelled to have to buy that property at inflated prices. Sometimes there's an agreement, and sometimes it's because you are contending with your brother. If I have a property to buy, and they say, come and get it at 1,000 naira, and my brother comes and says, hey, I can pay 1,500. You know, it is most likely that the sellers will invite the one who has offered 1,500. This is atanajush. Don't come to in between the buyer and the seller in such a manner that it compels the seller to increase the price of his property. Don't do that, because that will make your brother to hate you. It will spread as shahna. This hadith we are reading has come under the chapter heading, as shahna. Why? So that these are the things that causes what? As shahna. These are the things that cause as shahna. The first of them is what? Su'uzan. Thinking evil about people. It means you thinking evil about others. Your mind is full of as shahna. Your mind is full of hatred and spite towards your brothers. Likewise, when we have atanajush, you come to help the seller to inflate prices. That is from the aspects of atanajush. It will make your brother who is buying at an inflated price. Oh, they told him, okay, maybe we can sell it to you at 100. But they came and said, oh, somebody offered 120. I don't know if you can add 5 so that it will be 125. That person who has added 120 can never be loved by the person who had shown interest to purchase it for 100 naira. So this act of atanajush is prohibited in Islam. The Prophet also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wala tahasadu. Don't become envious of yourselves. We had mentioned this earlier. Wala tabaghadu. Do not also hate yourselves. Wala tanafasu. Atanafus. Mutually contesting with yourselves. Don't do it. The ulama said, this is regarding the matters of the dunya. Brother A has Mercedes Benz 200. You were on Volkswagen. Volkswagen, I hope we remember the Volkswagen in those days, and Mercedes Benz 200. Then you say, oh, he bought Benz 200. Okay, he can't be riding Benz 200 while I ride Volkswagen. So you go and buy a Benz 200 too, just because you want to contest in the matters of the dunya with your brother. There is nothing in it other than that. Why should brother A do this while I am not doing this? So you go and get Benz 200. When he leaves Benz 200 and goes to V-Boot, as it used to be done in those days, anyone who is below 30 now will not know what's called V-Boot. V-Boot. There is Mercedes-Benz V-Boot. People who used to transit from Benz 200 to V-Boot. So you also say, oh, I also want the V-Boot. You go and you start looking. Perhaps even getting the V-Boot is beyond your ability. But because you want to contest with your brother, you go to a V-Boot. You see that nothing has pushed this person to all of this except what? Ashahna. In his mind, there is hatred towards his brother. There's envy towards his brother. So my brother is on iPhone, is the problem of our own generation today amongst young people especially. iPhones. When you find people struggling to buy iPhones, I usually think of it to be as evidences of being young. So you're on iPhone 13. 14 is already out. 14 is out. You're on 13. 14 is out. 14 is out. I'll go and buy the 14. And then why? What is pushing him to go to buy iPhone 14? Because his brother is on iPhone 14. So he doesn't want to be in a committee. So my brother is on iPhone 14. Me, I'm on iPhone 13. These are the kind of fruitless contests Islam prohibits. Otherwise, your brother reads half of the Quran in 3 days. You can't struggle. I want to try to be like that too. I want to be like that brother. I remember a brother who memorized the entire Quran within 6 months. And the second brother said, I will try to beat him. Maybe I will spend 5 months. This is lawful contest in terms of worship. Because Allah says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So you should mutually make haste. Each of you struggling to be good. Each of you struggling to, you know, be better in terms of good deeds. So you motivate one another towards achieving goodness. In that sense, you are both doing it, trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the context of, he bought iPhone, I want to buy iPhone, you will see that you are not seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about your personal proclivities. This thing inside your mind that makes you do this thing is called what? As-sahna. In another sense, it is from the aspects of at-tanafus. You are mutually contesting with your brother. Don't contest with him. In fact, some people bring these tanafus to many aspects of life. Just because, brother A, just because of that. Just because of that. No any other reason. I just want to do as brother A has done. That's all. Because what you have in your mind, I don't want people to be thinking that brother A is progressing. He is not progressing. The only reason why he does all of this is people should think. I was discussing with a brother, with an elderly brother on Friday, 2 days ago. And I'm saying that one of the sicknesses in our generation is that people struggle to create impressions beyond their ability. You want to hold iPhone 14, your salary is 75,000 naira per month. You want the people to think that you're a big man, big boy. You want to live in Banana Island, and you don't have the means. You don't have the ability. You just want to, for the people to say that, he's living in Banana Island. You don't have the ability. You don't even have an opportunity to be able to gather an ability. So the struggle begins. These kinds of things push people into haram. So they begin to try to seek to get to that status that they have. They themselves created for themselves. They want to maintain status. They don't want to just remain within where their ability ends. So, and they want to contest with the rest of their brothers. May Allah protect us. It even happens on the matters of knowledge sometimes. One brother is contesting with the other brother. It's not as if I want to do good myself because my brother is doing good. No. Let me be like my brother. No. It is about why should brother Lagwaja be better than me? That's all. It is from a sense of envy against the brother. In fact, if he finds a way to withdraw that favor from that brother, he will withdraw it. That falls into hasad now. So the kind of hasad, negative hasad, of course, that's not al-ghibta. In al-ghibta, you don't want the brother to lose that goodness. But in al-hasad, you want the brother to lose that good thing. You want to be the one who gains it. So your desire that he should lose that goodness and you should gain that goodness is called al-hasad. If that pushes you to begin to act, because he now has this, so I have to have it. That is what has pushed you. That is at-tanafus. So the Prophet said, alayhi salam, wala tanafasu, because all of these bring about what? Ash-shahna in the community of Muslims. Wala tadabaru, don't turn your backs against one another. We had explained at-tadabur in a number of classes. So one al-idbar is turning the back. This one turns his back. This one turns his back. Today they call it big boys. Shun. Don't shun yourselves. Don't shun yourselves. La tadabaru. Don't shun yourselves. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of all of these things, instead of suruzan, instead of at-tanajush, instead of at-tahasud, instead of at-tabagud, hatred, instead of at-tanafus, struggling against one another in the matters of this dunya, instead of at-tadabur, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. O servants of Allah, be brothers. Be brothers. Because all of these things contradict brotherhood. And all of these things, سُؤْذَنْ التَّنَاجُشْ التَّخَاصُدْ التَّبَاغُدْ التَّنَافُسْ التَّدَابُرْ, they are from the aspects of what? الشَّحْنَى. When a person's mind is filled with all of these sicknesses, say the person has ash-shahna. So this chapter condemns ash-shahna. It also condemns those things that lead to what? Ash-shahna. Ash-shahna is when one Muslim nurses hate, envy, spite. He nurses venoms inside his mind against his brother. He did not abandon the brother. Cool. In the previous classes, we are saying dissociation, disconnect. You didn't disconnect from him. You are moving together, going forth and backwards together. But your mind is full of envy, al-hasad. Your mind is full of al-bughd, hate. Against that same brother you are moving together with. What kind of person are you? And when you see him and shake him, you will smile. But in your mind, hatred is full. This is called what? Ash-shahna. To disconnect from him is a sin. To remain with him while your mind is still full of hatred against him is also a sin. The both of them are prohibited in Islam. Disconnecting from your brother is prohibited. Remaining with him and bearing grudges against him is also prohibited in Islam. We can quickly read Hadith 411 with the time that we have. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ismail, Qala Haddathani Malikun an Suhailin, an Abihi, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, qal, Tuftahu abuabu al-Jannati yawm al-Ithnain wa yawm al-Khamis, fayugfaru likulli abdin, لا يشرك بالله شيئا إلا رجل كانت بينه وبين أخيه شحناء فيقال أنذروا هذين حتى يصطلحا أنذروا هذين حتى يصطلحا. In this, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports this hadith from his Shaykh Ismail. That is Al-Imam Ismail ibn Abi Ways, Rahimahullah, the son of the sister of Al-Imam Malik. So Al-Imam Malik is the maternal uncle of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. Fortunately, Ismail is reporting this hadith from Al-Imam Malik, Malik ibn Anas, Rahimahullah. He is reporting from his Sheikh Suhail, that is the son of Abu Salih, Suhail ibn Abi Salih. We remember that
Suhail himself and his brothers were all scholars of hadith. Salih, Muhammad, there were about four of them. They were all scholars of hadith. They all have one single father, who was also a great scholar of hadith, who read his hadith. That was Zakwan, As-Samman, As-Zayyat, Abu Salih. And Suhail has actually reported this hadith from his father, Abu Salih. So he said, "An Abihi, Suhailun an Abihi." Suhail is reporting this hadith on the authority of his father, Zakwan, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Zakwan, the father of Suhail, is reporting from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said تفتح أبواب الجنة يوم الاثنين ويوم الخميس تفتح أبواب الجنة يوم الاثنين ويوم الخميس the doors of Al-Jannah will be opened يوم الاثنين ويوم الخميس on the days on Mondays and on Thursdays, Tuftahu Abu Abul Jannah, the doors of Al-Jannah will be open. What does that signify? What does opening the doors of Al-Jannah on those days, what does it signify? Like we're in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, the doors of Al-Jannah are opened, meaning that Allah is showing more mercy to us. Is more merciful to us. Is already merciful to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kataba ala nafsihi rahma. He's already ordained mercy for himself regarding his slaves. He shows more mercy. So more deeds of Al-Jannah become easier on those days. So on the days of Monday and Thursday, Tuftahu abwab al-Jannah. Someone asks you, are the doors of Al-Jannah, do they become opened even outside Ramadan? Yes. The doors of Al-Jannah are opened even outside the month of Ramadan. On which days are they opened? They are opened on Thursdays. They are opened on Mondays. How do you know? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in an authentic hadith collected from him by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, فَيُغْفَرُ لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So every servant who does not join partners with Allah will be forgiven. So ask, on Mondays and Thursdays, what happens? People are forgiving their sins. People are forgiving their sins. The one whose sins are not forgiven on Thursdays and on Mondays, we shall hear about them. But the first group of them are those people, الَّذِينَ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Those who will not be forgiven are الَّذِينَ يُشْرِكُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Those who join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَيُغْفَرُ لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لا يشرك بالله شيئا يغفر لكل عبد لا يشرك بالله شيئا. So anyone, those who do not join partners with Allah, يغفرون, they will be forgiven on the days of Mondays and Thursdays. So if you say, oh, today is Monday, I'm happy. Why are you happy? The gates of Al-Jannah are open. And I try not to ever join partners with Allah, and I never do it. So I hope, I'm happy today because I hope that Allah will grant me forgiveness today. Why? Today is Monday. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Tuftahu abwaabu al-Jannah." The gates of Al-Jannah are open. فَيُغْفَرُ لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And every servant who does not join partners with Allah, be forgiven. No partner, he's not joining, he's not making shirk. He's not visiting Babalawo. He's not visiting Afajalaji. He's not visiting a pastor.
no fellow church underground. He has no idol. He has no incision on him. All of these aspects of shirk, he's far away from them. He is also a sincere person, because from the things that Islam refers to as shirk, is what? Riya. And what? Asuma. Doing something to seek popularity. This Riya and Asuma, the text of Islam in Ahadith, they are also referred to as what? Shirk. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam refers to Riya and Asuma. Riya, you want everybody to see you. Show off. Asuma, you want everybody to hear you. Popularity seeking. These two things too are from the aspects of what? Ashirk. These two things are from the aspects of what? Ashirk. So all of these will fall under this category. Become a sincere person. Someone can ask you, why do you want to become a sincere person? I'll be gaining forgiveness from Allah every Thursday and Monday. As long as I know I'm not joining partners with Allah, both major and minor, both lesser shirk and major shirk. I'm not committing anyone. So I hope in Allah's forgiveness on the days of Monday and on the days of Thursday. So those who will not be forgiven, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, illa rajulun kanat baynahu wa bayn akhihi shahna, a man between him and his brother. He is not joining partners with Allah. He is free from shirk, both major and lesser shirk. But he has a shahna against his brother. Between him and the brother is a shahna. He hates the brother. He is envious of him. His mind is full of spite, waiting to harm that brother. Or waiting that something happens to that brother. God catch him. God catch him. That's good for him. This one is very common amongst politicians. You can't find a politician who does not have a shahna in his mind. Whether the person against whom he has that shahna is a Muslim or not, it's not possible that you find a politician and he has no shahna in his mind. Al-shahna, tanafus, tabagut, these are the very same things we refer to as politics in our own times. May Allah protect all of us. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tuftahu abwaabul jannati yawm al-ithnain wa yawm al-khamis. The gates of al-jannah are opened on the days of Monday wa yawm al-ithnain, and on Thursdays, fayughfaru likulli 'abdin la yushriku billahi shay'an. And all the Muslims, all those who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, who do not join partners, everybody will gain forgiveness from Allah. Illa rajulun, except a man, kanat baynahu wa bayn akhihi shahna, between him and his brother, there is what? Ashahna. Fayuqal, in some riwayat, it says the angels will sing. Fayuqal, and it will be said to the angels. Fayuqal, it will be said, anziru hazain hatta yastaliha anziru. Wait regarding those people. Don't, these two people, they are fighting and quarreling amongst themselves. They are nursing spite, hatred, envy against themselves. Don't grant their forgiveness. Don't write that their sins be forgiven. Hatta yastaliha, until they mutually agree. Hatta yastaliha, until they mutually connect. When they mutually connect, then you can write them that they should be forgiven. This is the same reason the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was used to fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported and said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصوم الاثنين والخميس. The Prophet used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. فكيل يا رسول الله. So he was asked, Messenger of Allah, إنك تصوم الاثنين والخميس. You fast on Mondays and Thursdays. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إن يوم الخميس, إن يوم الاثنين والخميس, on the days of Monday and Thursday, يغفر الله فيهما لكل مسلم, Allah forgives every Muslim, إلا متهاجرين, except two Muslims who mutually disconnect from one another. So when two Muslims disconnect from another, they don't gain Allah's forgiveness on Mondays and Thursdays. When two Muslims, they are not disconnected, though, but they have shahna amongst them, they don't also gain this forgiveness. All of these go to emphasize that our religion emphasizes our brotherliness so much. Our religion emphasizes our brotherliness so much. Islam really, really emphasizes that the Muslims should be brothers, and that we should eschew everything that will destroy our brotherhood. There's a hadith that's common amongst young people. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, La yakhtubu ahadukum ala khitbati akhi. None of you should give a proposal to a woman over the proposal of his brother. If you go to it, all of these things are things that destroy brotherhood amongst the people. People will become enemies when we do all of these things. So for the sake of Allah, let us not be enemies to one another. Let us not nurse spite and evil against ourselves. Yes, people, as people, we have sentiments we nurse. You say, he did this to me, he did that. If we learn to forgive, if we learn to overlook, Allah will overlook for us too. It's a very big thing. It's easily said than done. Overlook, pardon. Letting go. Let things go. Allah, let it go. For the sake of Allah. It's hard. But when we do it, Allah will honor us in this world here. We have all, everything to gain, if we are able to overlook for others. There's a hadith of Aisha when she asked the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam about Laylatul Qadri. And she was asking the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, if it happens to be that I witness Laylatul Qadri, what should I be saying? He thought, Kuli, say that, Allahumma innaka afuun. Oh Allah, you are the one who ever pardons. You pardon people absolutely. You like that people are pardoned. So pardon me. This is dua we make. And I'm sure many of us will be making this dua now, because we're in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And the nights of the odd days, the odd nights, could be any of the nights of Ramadan, of Laylatul Qadr. So we always say, Allahumma innaka afu, tuhibbul afu. So if Allah likes afu, you, why not give afu? Allah likes afu. So he should grant you afu. You give afu. I remember Sheikh Abdul Razak Ibn Abdul Mohsin Al-Abbad. He was saying that in these last 10 days, people should be asking for afu. One biggest way to ask for afu is that you grant afu. If you grant afu, if you overlook for people, even if you don't ask Allah to overlook for you, Allah will overlook for you. If you overlook for people, if you pardon people, if you excuse them, even if you don't do it, you are not asking Allah, Allah, pardon me, overlook for me. Because you overlook, Allah will overlook for you. So how then is it will it be if you overlook for people, you still beg Allah to overlook? So you are doing two things that make Allah pardon and overlook for the servant. So he narrated what happened between himself and one of the elderly people. He said that man came to him. I'm talking about Sheikh Abdul Razak, Ibn, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. Said an elderly person came to him and told him about an offense someone did to him. Someone insulted him somehow. Something happened. So he asked him, what that person has done to you? What did he do? He said, explain the whole matter. He said, and I will not forgive him. I'm going to deal with him. So, okay. The wealth that came in between the two of you, did the person go about spoiling your name if it has to do with your heirs, your honor? He said, no, it wasn't about my honor. It's about my money. He said, I overlook. What happened between Mr. and Abu Huraira and Abu Bakr and Siddiq and the story of Ifk when our mother Aisha radiallahu was falsely accused of indecency? Mistah, who was involved, was a cousin, was a relative of Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Yet Allah asked Abu Bakr and Siddiq, Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfir Allah lakum. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? Say, I want Allah to forgive you. So forgive him. It was said that on the spot, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq forgave Mr. for being a party to those who spread that false accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Sheikh said he reminded this elderly man about this incident. He said on the spot, the elderly man said to him that I have forgiven that man. Because when that verse came down, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq forgave that man immediately. So I said, you have told me that verse now. I also forgive that man immediately. So he said, when you do things like this, you gain Allah's forgiveness too. You gain Allah's pardon. You gain, when you pardon people, you gain pardon from Allah. So it's not just about going about in the last 10. It's not just about that. Allahumma innaka afuwwun. You are singing. That one is not part of it. Allahumma innaka afuwwun. People add it. Kareemun. This Kareemun, don't add it to it. There is no Kareem inside this dua, the Prophet taught Aisha. And the Prophet knew, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah is Kareem. But he did not add Kareem to it. So don't add Kareem. It is innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. Don't say innaka afuun kareem. Don't add kareem. It is innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. Fa'afu anni. That's where it stops. People now also go to add. Fa'afu anna wa ghafiri lana warhamna fa'afu anna. This one is not from what the Prophet taught Aisha. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And he knew more Arabic than you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew Allah than you. He did not teach Aisha that. So stop where he stopped. Yet people go about with all of these expressions and slogans in these last 10 days. They also have people they have not forgiven. Allah likes that. Allah likes forgiveness, asking for forgiveness and granting forgiveness. But you don't forgive. So for the sake of Allah, let us try to go back to the drawing boards. Fortunately, we're in Ramadan. As you are saying to Hibbul Af, oh Allah, you like pardon. From the things Allah likes about pardon is that he likes that you pardon people. Allah likes to pardon people. He also likes that people pardon people. So pardon people. You can't be asking for pardon and you don't give pardon. You can't be saying, Allah, pardon me, Allah, pardon me, and you don't give what you are asking Allah to give you. So for the sake of Allah, let us try to pardon. It's hard to pardon. I think we must acknowledge that. It's hard to let go. But if we do it, we have a lot to gain. From the things that we will gain is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pardoning us every Monday and Thursday. If you pardon people. If you pardon people, forget it. Mondays and Thursdays, your sins will go. Allah will forgive you. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ فِيهِمَا لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمِينَ إِلَّا مُتَحَاجِرِينَ. Mondays and Thursdays, people are forgiven. Every Muslim is forgiven. Except two people who are in a battle against themselves. Either they disconnect from themselves, or that they did not disconnect. They are together, but they have what? Ashrafna amongst themselves. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, يقول Allah will say دعهما حتى يصطلحا دعهما حتى يصطلحا. Leave them, don't pardon them. حتى until and unless يصطلحا, the two of them reconnect. So you that you have vowed never to talk to your co-wife because you are both married to a single husband. You have suspended this forgiveness from yourself. So if you want forgiveness from Allah, quickly go and reconnect with your co-wife. Some of you, it is with your husband. Some of us, it is with our children. Go and reconnect with our brothers, with our sisters, with our uncles, with our relatives. Reconnect. Start gradually. Start from somewhere. The Prophet had told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, once you start with taslim, taslim, that is the next chapter we are coming to. Taslim breaks that evil streak of dissociating from your brother or nothing shahna regarding your brother. Please let us break it up. We have the days of Ramadan. Days of Ramadan, from that will be from the blessings of Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Mubarak. From the barakat of Ramadan, from the barakat of Ramadan is that you forgive people. From the barakat of Ramadan is that you forgive people so that you too can gain pardon and forgiveness from Allah. And that you don't go about nothing shahna. When you go about nothing shahna, spite, envy, wickedness, hate against your brothers, how then do you gain forgiveness? May Allah forgive all of us and make us from those who find it easy to pardon others. It is, there is hardly any mind you will go and open up now, you will not see shahna inside it. So I don't know those people who want to gain that Monday and Thursday forgiveness from Allah. You want to gain Monday and Thursday forgiveness. Your mind is full of trouble against people. Allah protect all of us. I think it's good sufficient to stop here for today, inshallah. Allah Yusuf.
Ameen.
Naam, Aba Yusuf. Aba Yusuf, can we call it a day today and come to class on the next Saturday? Okay, the evening, I think we should call it a day and come back to class on Saturday. The time is already past spent.
I mean,
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.